You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Packers Therapy.
Merry Christmas. We're doing this on Christmas night following the Packers 26-20 unexpected win.
Oh, man.
In Miami. This captures.
Capulates.
I don't know. Whatever it does, it concludes a weekend in which everything that had to go right for the Packers went right. In a season where it seems like pretty much everything's gone wrong, this weekend they got the four teams they needed to lose. The Packers win. They are now actually positioned, as Aaron Rodgers said a couple weeks ago, if we go to Miami and win, you know, then we got something going. And I guess they got something going now. They're 6-8. If they win out and Washington loses once, Packers are in the postseason.
Right.
In fact, if Washington, wins both of their games, but the Giants lose both of theirs, then the Packers will be in as well. So things are looking pretty good right now. And I got to be honest, Dave, I did not see this one coming.
No. In fact, I watched the game here and had the Cheesehead TV guys, Aaron Nagler and Corey Behnke, as we're doing kind of the commentary, the live commentary. And I was on Twitter the whole time. And man, through that second quarter, I don't think even the writers, which are usually generous, were like super negative on the Packers. I think not only people just expected this to be a blowout, but I think people were angry and very rough on Rodgers, as I think rightly so. It was a very dark, dark time for the Packers. And we ended up winning this game. I do not believe that that happened.
It shouldn't have happened, probably, but they had a meltdown, they being the Dolphins and Tua in particular.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the hashtag that's trending on Twitter. It's Tua turn the ball over.
That's it.
Yeah. Ouch. You know.
Yeah. Three times. I mean.
Yeah. Well, they had three interceptions in the NFC Championship game against Tom Brady. That didn't work.
That's
but
true.
It worked tonight, though, and they made the most of those three turnovers, and they won the turnover battle 4-1. And we've talked for years on this podcast that of all the stats, you know, and point differentials and all this stuff, you can break it down. It's that turnover thing makes a hell of a difference. And I note that the Packers are now even for the season in terms of turnovers and takeaways. And guess what? They're just about 500 with their record, too. So that just kind of shows you how important that is.
Yeah. I mean, it was especially I want to talk to you about the decision at the end of the game and not going for it on that fourth down. I thought for sure this is how they lose. This is how the season ends. They're going to lose by a point here. I just assumed that was going to happen as soon as they kicked that field goal. And he throws another interception, and I felt like, now where was this team? This was not the script that this team has been following all year long, and all of a sudden they pull one out at the end. I couldn't believe it. So,
Did you say the Packers pulled it out? Is that what you just said, Dave?
Okay. Aaron Rodgers pulled it out. And
well, yeah, that's actually a good thing. But anyway, go on. You were saying.
Yeah, I mean, so it was, unlikely how they won. I mean, it was in turnovers. They were able to score some points. I mean, in the first half, I thought, man, this Miami offense is so dangerous. It does matches up so poorly against our defense. Mm-hmm. Amos looked so slow.
Terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. And you got Rudy Ford, which is like a try hard guy. Like, you need some really good safeties against these two receivers. And I thought they are so fast. It's a bad matchup. The defense stepped up. And none of this game made sense to me. I saw none of this coming. And it just makes me feel like, well, that's because it's going to be even more disappointing when you get beat by the Vikings next week. Like, that's how this team has got to find the maximum way of disappointing me. But I thought this game was over, and to pull it out, I can't stop saying to win the game is to win the game is amazing. I don't know. What do you think their chances are?
You know, the last two games are at home, so that should be a good thing. But I think these are two tough teams. The Vikings, they definitely have the old horseshoe up the ass. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
Down 33-0 two weeks ago, they come back and win in overtime. Yesterday, they win on a 61-yard field goal. I mean, Tom Dempsey was even impressed with that one. You know, and so the Vikings have it going on. I think their point differential for a team that's 12-3, I believe they are, they're almost even in point differential.
Yeah.
Because they've been winning a lot of close games. And so while the record is great and the Packers are playing at home, the Vikings, I think, can be had. But what's going to be interesting, you know, can they figure out a better defensive scheme than what they had in that first game when they let Jefferson run wild? And if they do that again, you can forget it. But even if they get by the Vikings, Dave, I actually, in some ways, I'm more afraid of the Lions. The Lions are playing with heart. Get it?
Yeah.
See the cowardly lion needed a heart.
Oh, good.
Okay, good.
Sure.
So, yeah, I don't think they're going to be able to do it because they got two tough opponents, and we found out that Lambeau Field is not necessarily the cold weather advantage that we thought it might have been at one time. So I'm not putting either one of these games in the win column. The most Packer thing ever, though, right, would be to beat the Vikings, the 12-3 team, and then, you know, pee down their leg when they play the Lions the last game of the season when they're just right there on the cusp. You know Washington's probably going to lose, right? And the Packers are going to be all teed up, and then the Lions are going to beat them. You just got to have this bad feeling.
Yeah. Although they've had luck in the past, you know, it just feels like this team seems snake bitten. But bad things happened today. I think, did the offense play well? I would say not necessarily. There's a lot of really boneheaded plays by Rodgers. Guys tripping on their own feet. I can't say that any wide receiver necessarily had a great, great game. So I'd say no. And then defensively, I think, yeah, they really struggled at times. But then so maybe this team is a lot luckier than we think. Like, maybe their luck has turned, or maybe they figured some things out. I was trying to think what it would be like to be a Miami Dolphins fan right now. You just lost four in a row, but you would think we should have crushed the Packers. You know, how did we lose this game? And I was wondering, if you're a Miami coach, defensive coach, how do you face the Packers right now? Like, do you stop the run? Do you stop the pass? I mean, they're kind of a hard team to figure out. So I'm wondering if Minnesota, who knows us so well for playing us two times every year, if this year were just less knowable, because, I mean, who are we in offense right now?
Well, they got defensive coaches. Well, they got Mike Pettine over there. Don't they also have Ed Donatell?
They have two ex-DCs for us. Yeah.
And both of them fired for colossal postseason meltdowns. I think Donatell got the axe after 4th-and-26. And, it was Pettine that had to wear the loss to Tampa Bay in the postseason. So, will they find a way to come up small at Lambeau once again? You know,
yeah.
I mean, let's just wait and see with that. But in terms of how you would defense the Packers now,
how would you even watching this game, like, what would be your game plan against the Packers offense if you're the defensive coordinator?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it's going to depend on who's available. And, you know, second half, there was no Watson available. And that, I think, is going to change what the Packers want to do. And I haven't seen exactly the breakdown, but I think they ran the ball more in the second half. I think it's because they were without probably what is now their top weapon. They are also without their right tackle. I don't know how long Yash is going to be out. So, you know, if you're going to be limited on offense, and you're not going to be able to pass because you don't have your right tackle and you don't have your top wide receiver, then I'm probably going to, you know, stack it up and defense the run. On the other hand, though, Aaron Jones, you know, playing on a bad ankle, I think that's one reason why he only got 6 carries today, is because they were protecting him because of his ankle injury. And if he is going to be limited again, and all you have is Dylan, who I think we've been pretty honest. We like, you know, AJ Dylan on this podcast. He seems like a good guy and a real solid player, but he's not Aaron Jones. And if Aaron Jones is not available, and Watson is, then, you know, maybe I stack it more up against the pass. And if I'm the defensive coordinator, if they're both not available, you know, I just try to make sure my guys don't get hurt because we're going to win.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess in a way, I think you need to stop Aaron Jones. You know, if you don't get him on track. Well, the Packers only handed off to him 6 times. I didn't know he had a hurt ankle. Yeah. Yes. So I guess that makes, but it was like, for a while, I thought, is he hurt? You know, I haven't seen him in the game in forever. I mean, certainly Rodgers at times, you know, looked really sharp. You know, some of those passes he throws, those slants, I mean, it's like he's putting it right in the perfect spot. But man, does he make some boneheaded plays. This week, I thought it was maybe the worst play of the season. After that great run back by Dixon, he takes a sack.
Oh, I mean, God.
One, it was like throw it away, but two, he hit a guy open and he just hesitated. It's like, I don't know if he overthinking it. He just freezes sometimes when guys are just open. So I don't know if you got to stop Aaron Rodgers. I think one of the reasons I feel a little bit maybe more confident is I just think the Packers are so unpredictable right now. I don't know, you know, how Minnesota is going to face them. It's not like you stop Devontae. You've got kind of the keys to being the Packers. It's just, I think they're a real weird and unusual team. And this was a weird, unusual game. But man, wouldn't you know that we came out on top? So maybe this is happening, Chris. Maybe we're going to make the playoffs. We're all going to have to apologize for saying put love in there.
Well, you know, and I'm prepared to do that. I mean, I would love to see them make the postseason. I don't think their stay there is going to be long. But battling back the way they did, this is one of those character building things. I don't remember if you recall, how long ago was it? The Wisconsin Badger basketball team might have been the first or second year after Ryan left as coach, and Greg Gard was, you know, still kind of figuring things out. I think they lost 6 games at one point, and it looked like his tenure was going to be short. But that turned out to be a really good thing for them. They got their feet back underneath them, and they finished strong, and you know, he's still the coach, and they've had some pretty solid teams over the last, you know, half a dozen years or so. And I'm wondering if the adversity that they faced for the middle part of this season after starting 3-1 and is because, you know, you and Klaus apparently poisoned the well in London, and you know, they collapsed there late, and then that was, you know, how many games in a row did they lose there? You know, 5 games or so in a row. Yeah. We haven't seen that in a really long time in Green Bay. And I'm just wondering, now that they've won 3 games in a row, if, you know, maybe they've been kind of, you know, tempered with fire kind of thing, and they're going to be better and more resilient as a result. At least that's the way the narrative is kind of shifting right now. So even making the postseason and getting blown out in the first game, the fact of the matter is they're going to have to, you know, have won 5 games in a row after losing. And I don't have the schedule in front of me, but at least 5 games in a row to be able to bounce back that way. This says a lot about the team. And in some ways, Dave, that might be the best possible outcome, because that is going to galvanize, I think, the team and the guys that come back. And the coach is a young guy who's going to learn a lot from that kind of adversity. You know, I really want to see him make the postseason. No, not because I think they're going to have an amazing run and take it all. No, that's not going to happen. But it would be fantastic just for their morale and for our attitude about next season if they can somehow figure out a way to beat the Vikings, figure out a way to beat Detroit, and it just seems like it's right there for them. I know Washington's got to lose a game, but I feel pretty confident about that. It's a damn shame the Packers, you know, didn't beat Washington when they had the chance. This wouldn't be this wouldn't be a problem. Or hell, if they had beat both Washington and New York, and those games were, you know, both there for the take.
Yeah. So what was your
point? So that's Packers. My point in the whole thing here is that this is, it's Christmas, right? So we had a gift here, and we should be grateful for that, because I think that now, with only two games left, you're not going to get a lot of exposure for Love anyway. You're not going to get any, as it turns out, because of their record. And even if they had lost today, it's only going to be two games. So really, I think the best possible outcome for the Packers was to have this to play for. They're going to learn a lot about themselves and about the team going forward, depending on how they do in the next couple of games. The only disturbing thing, did you see at the very end of the game?
Oh, I know it's coming. Yes. The hug.
Yeah. LaFleur going over, you know, and hugging his boy there, the DC, on the sideline.
That's right.
And that's exactly what I thought. Oh, boy. You know,
has that been mentioned on Twitter much? Because as soon as I saw it, I said, that guy's not going anywhere. I knew it right away. Why would you do that if it was a guy on the bubble?
If he does fire him, they're gonna show that clip 1,000 times.
That's true.
Just 3 weeks ago, they were embracing on the sideline on Christmas, and now he's kept. I think Joe is coming back. That's what that said to me. And sure, the three interceptions, second half, nice, but I can't get out of my head how crappy they were against the run and the pass in that first half. Right. That catch and run by Waddle, who did anything but Waddle. I mean, the guy he's got some serious wheels, but they look so impotent, so pathetic, so dare I say, flaccid in trying to defend that. You had a whiff by 23, 31 looked old and just slow, and it was absolutely terrible the whole way around. And then they come back, and I hate to say, I think they kind of got lucky, because those were really bad passes, except maybe the last one was just a really good play by 29 that he baited them. But the other ones, I just think they were lucky, because Tua is not a finished product yet. So I don't think I'm thinking that all their defensive problems are solved now. You look good when you get four turnovers. I mean, that makes you look pretty good. I don't think that means you have a solid defense. I think it means that you were fortunate to get the ball turned back to you when you needed it.
Well, it seemed like Miami helped us out a lot. They got a bunch of penalties, so it kind of took them back. I know a lot of those penalties, they got first downs anyway, but there's a lot of penalties. It felt like they went to the run game quick. You know, there was a close game, and there were a couple of – I thought that one time they ran on first and second down and put them in third and longer, and I thought, boy, they have such electric receivers, you know, to run the ball. Might be a big break. So it seemed like the Miami kind of slowed things down in the second half. And yeah, the bad throws were huge. And so it was like something, I'd love to think that Barry or the defense made an adjustment. It just seemed like a team of two different teams in each half. And I felt like Miami really helped us out. So I don't know what really happened there. If there was scheme or it was performance of the players.
Yeah. I kind of think the latter. And I do think they got lucky, but they've been plenty unlucky many times this season. And we, you know, if they'd lost this game, we could point to a number of plays in which I think there were clearly penalties and they didn't benefit, you know, from those things. They benefited from some of the other penalties, but you know, pass interference in the end zone on Watson. I mean, there were lots of places where, had this game gone the other way, we would have been able to, you know, pound the desk and complain about that stuff. So I'm not ready to say that, the Packer defense came up when they had to. I don't really feel that way. I think they got fortunate. The balls were thrown, you know, right to guys, but they have to catch them, and they did. Both Campbell and Douglas both made interceptions, all hands intercept, which is impressive. In the case of 23, he was just kind of standing there and the overthrow, and it hit him between the two and the three. Did you see his post game interview, by the way?
I did see. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
It's funny. Yeah.
I think he's he's fun to watch, but I bet he's a handful in the locker room.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure he doesn't, of all the people who are intimidated by Rodgers, he doesn't seem like he's one of them. So maybe that's why they butted heads some. But, you know, you could see this defense, how it could be decent or get better. Like, I feel like they're putting decent pressure on the quarterback. I don't think they blitzed a lot. I was surprised, Tua. What did he run at all? He had one rush for no yards. I was surprised that was a big difference between like Jalen Hurts or Josh Allen. You know, like they ran for a lot of first downs. Tua didn't really do that. But it feels like, you know, you get some good pressure on the quarterback, and the cornerbacks, I suppose you could call them opportunistic. They certainly were today. So you'd love to see this defense play with a lead. I can't remember last time it's really played with a lead, even like the Bears game that we won, the Rams. I mean, we're rarely like well ahead where the defense could really just go after the quarterback. But, you know, they've got some young players. I wonder if they certainly could get better. But, yeah, I think Joe Barry's coming back next year, Chris. This is setting up. And that you sent me a YouTube video, too, that talked about how the Fangio system is been kind of figured out. And it looked like it was a national person that did it, and they were really making fun of Joe Barry. It's like everybody understands that Joe Barry probably doesn't deserve to be our defensive coordinator, but he's except for the guy that matters, and I think he's back next year.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. And, you know, this game, because they got the four defensive turnovers, you know, it's going to be hard not to bring that guy back, especially if they come up big the next couple weeks. But the key game next week, because they were so crappy in that first game, you know, can they do something schematically to take away, you know, those? They have two really good receivers, and they got a really good running back. And can they do something to take that away? And if they can't, I don't think there should be any more hugging on the sideline. You know, I'm still of a mind that the Fangio scheme, unless it's run by Fangio, I think is there's reason to believe that is not all that in a bag of chips. I would much rather see somebody else with a different idea that's not running a copycat scheme come in and do something a little bit different. And now maybe that's just me, because I want, you know, Jim Leonard to be the defensive coordinator. But I am not ready to say that, oh yeah, this validates Joe Barry. I don't think so.
Well, how do you feel about Christian Watson getting hurt? Isn't that case?
I thought it was just great news. I was happy to see him and his hoodie on the sideline.
Well, isn't that, one, it's like we can't have nice things, right? It's
exactly.
Keyshawn Nixon. I think, did we do the betting lines? We didn't get the betting lines back from Mike yet, since it's Christmas and we're so close to after the game. But I thought we predicted who was going to get hurt. I think I said Keyshawn Nixon because he's playing so well. That's just the way 2022 operates. And once he got hurt, Watson got hurt.
Yep.
And I'm a little worried about Watson, though. I feel like, you know, he might be a really good player, but he might not have kind of an NFL body, right? I mean, he took a hit that was solid, but it wasn't like, you know, something that was extraordinary, and boom, he's hurt. So I just wonder if he's too slight to last in the NFL.
Jared Abadaris, I know we said that earlier in the season. I think he has, you know, more skills and tools than Abadaris did, but it's the same thing. Abadaris, I thought, was a playmaker. He certainly was at Wisconsin. You know, he was good with the ball in his hands. He could catch the ball, but he just didn't have, you know, the body. I don't want to say it's not a question of toughness, because that's almost like a mental thing.
Yeah.
I just don't think that Abadaris's body, and maybe Watson's body, is really cut out, you know, for the kind of abuse you take in the NFL. So I'm concerned. It's a hip injury. Of course, he downplayed it in the locker room. They always do. Tomorrow morning, he won't be able to get out of bed, probably, you know.
Right.
And that, you know, he has become the key player in the passing game. Even if he doesn't catch a ball, you know, he's such a threat. And other teams have to adjust when he's available. And if he's not playing, you know, if your number one guy, you know, all of a sudden becomes Lazard again, or if it becomes Dobbs again, that's just not the same. And they're not going to worry about the passing game in the same way. So that is a huge injury. And I'm concerned that he's not going to be able to play on this coming Sunday. But I'm concerned about, is this going to be a consistent thing with him? Wasn't Sammy Watkins' deal the same thing? He was always hurt.
Yeah.
Every place he went, he had tremendous talent, but and that's why he's been around the league for 9 years. But fact of the matter is that, you know, he's injury prone, and there's a lot of guys like that. They're great players. I think you're old enough to remember Eddie Lee Ivory, right?
I had his jersey. I loved Eddie Lee Ivory. Yeah.
He was fantastic, but he, you know, unfortunately, he blew out, you know, his knees in consecutive seasons. And they're just players like that, that it's maybe it's unlucky, or maybe it's, you know, biomechanically, you know, you can get through college, but, you know, on Sundays when they're bigger, faster, and stronger, you just don't hold up to it. And Watson is a, you know, he looks like a greyhound, not the bus, you know, but I'm talking about, you know, the dog, and very, you know, thin and athletic and fast, but, you know, he just seems a little bit frail, and I'm hoping that won't be the case. I'm hoping it's bad luck, but it's not feeling that way right now. And they need that guy to be the threat. Even if he doesn't catch a lot of balls, they need him to be that threat. And I'll tell you, 6 catches for the 49 yards today. Those were important catches, a couple of first downs, and he draws a lot of attention from the defense. And if you don't have that, you are greatly diminished on offense.
Well, the shame of it was, is on that play, Rodgers had Mercedes Lewis open for a first down. He could have, one, not thrown to Watson, who got hurt, but then two, I think Lewis could have caught it and ran out of bounds after getting a first down, which would have saved a timeout. So even though Watson, you know, made some good catches and Rodgers had a good throw on that one, there were a couple of times with Rodgers' decisions, like just passing the open guy and going downfield. And did you see, I was watching Aaron Nagler was responding to on like the 4th and 2 when Rodgers chucked it into the end zone and overthrew everybody. Nagler has like this doll Packer man or something, and he ripped this doll to shreds. I think I retweeted it. It's worth seeing if you have a chance. I mean, he speaks for all of us when that happens, but there are a couple of bad plays, that one included. Watson, if he had just thrown to Mercedes Lewis, Watson would have avoided that hit and wouldn't have been hurt. But yeah, who's to say he wouldn't get hurt next week or the week after that? It just, he seems like he needs to bulk up, or maybe it's just he's a track guy and can't kind of play, you know, every down in the NFL.
Yeah. Do you remember Ronaldo Nehemiah?
Yeah, right.
49ers. Yeah. Yep. You know, another track guy, gifted athlete. But, you know, the NFL, man, it is. Catch it him. Is. Yep. You know, you really have to be able to take a hit. And especially the way they use Watson, you know, they're not just, he's not MVS, just run down the field. You know, they have him going across the middle. They have him, I think he had at least. Did he have a carry today? I can't recall if he did or not.
He did. Yeah, I think he did.
Oh, that's right. They had that little push passing. Yeah. So, you know, they're asking him, you know, to run in traffic too. They're not just like keeping him outside of the numbers where it's going to be kind of safe. And if you're going to catch it, you're going to go out of bounds or something. No, they have him in high traffic, high impact situations. And that's, of course, you know, where he's the most valuable. So that's a concern. That's a concern going forward. And I think that's a situation Packer fans need to monitor this week, whether he's going to be available. I think Jones is going to be okay. I think he hurt his ankle last week. It bothered him during the week. So they limited his carries, but he was effective. I mean, he had an 18-yard run today. I'm less worried about him than I am about Watson. I'm also concerned about Yash. I don't know what the deal was there, but anytime I hear it, some of the most frightening words in football are Royce Newman has entered the game.
Yeah, right.
And that's terrifying
time
stuff
too.
Oh yeah. Man, I thought, oh God, you know, but you know, he held up fairly well. But I don't, that's not a guy I want at right tackle.
No.
No, thank you. You know,
no, I don't like my guard. He's just kind of bad across the whole line.
Well, he was a draft pick last year, or not this past draft, but the draft before last. And I think that's why he's, you know, been given kind of a wide berth. But I, I think he's a guy you want to avoid having him on the field. So I don't know the extent of Yash's injury, but I certainly hope he's going to be able to play, or if they can make some other kind of line adjustments where you don't have to have Newman out there. So there's some concerns heading into the Vikings game, but there's a few other things I want to talk about, Dave. And one of them is you already touched on. It's great to see Big Dog, have a big game. That was nice. Besides the touchdown, which, apparently the Dolphins don't watch any film because the Packers have done that before. But that worked out great.
But teams forget about him.
Yeah, they do. Well, he had that great catch downfield too.
Yeah, I mean, I think all the tight ends really, I feel like, are just so forgotten. And especially if you're blocking and then leak out. They did it to Packer Taylor as a running back too, it up, block, then you break out. Because the defenders end up staying with our receivers so deep down the field, if you can get a guy to kind of late get out there, he's got yards in front of him there, especially on a third and short or something. I feel like a play like that or any throws to Mercedes Lewis should work just about every time. But you're not a fan. You don't think that could be repeated? You think teams will figure that out?
Well, you'd think so that they would be yelling it at the line of scrimmage, hey, 89, and it was nice to see, especially, can you remember a time where when he's been with the Packers, has he caught a 31-yard pass during his tenure at the, I mean, maybe he has, I don't recall it. This is his fourth season, maybe, with the Packers. At least his third, it may be his fourth year. And I don't recall him ever being anything but a gadget guy. In fact, I don't know if you saw the email from Detective Sergeant Inspector General Andy Mundy, but he wrote to Mitchell Miller and said, could you clear up a question? If the Packers run any sort of play whatsoever involving a pass to Mercedes Lewis, does that count as a trick play?
It almost feels that way, right?
I thought that was brilliant. It really does feel like that's some kind of a surprise, because the defense is probably more surprised than the fans are. It's like, oh my God, I forgot 89 could catch the ball.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's nice that the old fella gets a chance to get a participation trophy here. So, yeah, brilliant, Andy. Thank you for that. We appreciate it. And it was good to see the guy be a factor in something other than what I would consider to be kind of a trick or a gadget play. And I think that point is well taken by Andy.
Now, speaking of trick play, what did you think about the fake punt?
Yeah. See, that was on my list. I was going to go there too. I like the play, except not on your own 20-yard line.
Yeah.
If they had been on, say, their 40-yard line, all right. Okay. Give that a try. But essentially, when you're on the 20, was it fourth and three or fourth and two?
I think it was three, two or three, I think.
Yeah, yeah. That's a long way. It wasn't like you needed a length of the football or a yard or something like that. And just the field position, I did not like them trying that play on that situation. If they had been another 20 yards down the field, fine, okay, if it works, it'd be fine. But also too, it looked to me like the Dolphins were kind of jammed up in the middle of the line,
right?
And this is one where you maybe call a timeout.
You should have had hand signals.
That's right. That's
audible,
right.
Out of it.
Or just called it off, period. There must be some kind of kill, signal or something like that. And on the replay, you could just tell that wasn't going to go anywhere.
Right.
And on the 20, it's like, is that really the best place? Is that? Now, of course, what Moose said during the game was, well, that's not a play you would expect in that situation. So maybe that's a good call, because you weren't expecting it. And I guess that is a way to think about that. Well, and I guess
you could take that to logical extreme. He threw it right out of bounds into the stands. Wasn't expecting that, but I mean,
yeah, they're punting on first down. I didn't see that coming.
We didn't see that. Yep. Yeah. What are they won? No one saw it coming. It looked like almost like Miami was rushing to block the punt up the middle.
Right.
And decided to run up the middle in a jailbreak situation. It was I don't know how you kill it. I don't know if you, all right, we're going to do it. And you get out there and realize, oh, it's doomed from the start. Do you call a timeout? You just let it happen. But I can tell you what, you're probably going to be no more trick plays for the rest of this season. They tried it once and it was a failure. It's not going to happen again.
Well, I know they're trying to empty the playbook and stuff. And I give them some credit for that. I can't think of the last time the Packers tried a fake punt. Do you remember the last time that happened? You know, so
Tom Crabtree ran one for a touchdown, but that's like the last. Somehow, I think he had a fake punt, right? Or a fake field goal. And I think
Crabtree has been off the team for at least 5 years. So it's been a really long time. They don't do a lot of, you know, trickery and gadget stuff. So yeah, it's okay giving it a try. I just don't think that was the place to do it. I was glad to see them be aggressive on the other fourth downs. I mean, they're going for on fourth down. That is probably the right call. I like aggressiveness. It's just that I think might have been an overreach.
Yeah, I think so too. It's too bad. I thought that was the dagger too for the Packers' hopes and season. I thought that was it. It's over. Now let's just watch how it's going to kind of conclude. And they won. I just can't get my mind around the fact that they won this game for all the really bad things that happened in the first half.
Well, what kind of, I guess, concerned me the most coming into the game was the fact that, you know, Miami was at one point 8-3. They had a 3-game losing streak, all of them on the road. So they're coming back home, where I think they were undefeated at home.
They had a longer rest, right?
Yep, they did. They had one day extra. They got some real weapons. I mean, their wide receivers are good, and of course, their running back. You know, we've seen him, you know, ruin a game. And Tua, I think had a really good passer rating coming into this game. He doesn't have a cannon arm, but he's pretty accurate. And he was not that today. Yeah. So I mean, I was delighted to see how it all played out, but it was really unexpected. Now we'll see it was this a Pyrrhic victory in that it cost them a lot, and maybe it's cost them so much that they won't be able to finish the deal. But for right now, it did make for a nice Christmas. And the only thing for me that was the cherry on top of the sundae, Alan Lazard blocking three guys at once.
Yes, I thought of you.
Freaking brilliant. I mean,
yeah, and they counted it out.
Exactly. See, this, as I have said, this is a bitter, angry, vicious man. I don't need your freaking vaccine. Shove that up your ass. I'm going to lock down three of you guys, and then I'm going to count you out because I'm a bad man. I am a bad dude. Yeah. 13. He wears 13. That, he doesn't care. You have bad luck. He doesn't care about that crap. No, I'm Alan Lazard, damn it. I'm a restricted free agent, and I'm going to hold out. That's the kind of guy I am, you know? I have zero leverage. It doesn't matter if I have a leverage. This matters not to me. What matters to me is that I'm Alan Lazard, and I'm your worst nightmare.
Well, do you think Lazard had a good game?
Yes, he knocked three guys down at one time.
Okay, that was a plus. He had a 42-yard catch.
Yes.
But he was targeted 11 times and had a big drop.
He had a bad drop. I don't care. He dropped three guys, Dave.
Yeah.
I don't 42 yards. I don't care. He knocked three men down on one play, and then he stood over them and counted them.
That was good. They stayed down for enough time for him to count it out too. It was great.
Do you know how big your balls have to be to do that? I'm surprised the guy can even walk.
Yeah, right. Maybe that's why he was slow on a couple of receptions. He started to carry those things down the field.
All that jostling. Yeah, it's got to be really. It's got to be. Extremely difficult. Yeah, I also thought that that Reed had a good game on defense. He had been all but invisible for most of the season, and he looked like he was a factor today. And after 94 went out, after Lowry was gone, Wyatt came in. I thought Wyatt played well, and that's a guy that just got to play more. Period.
Yeah, I think we all agree with that.
Yeah. So that's all the observations I had. Did you have anything else?
Well, I just on defense, I noticed that Innis Gaines, and they said his nickname was Thump.
Yeah,
you hear that in the broadcast. I thought, well, then why isn't he playing? We could use some more Thump in the backfield. And I thought he played pretty well, had a good tackle. I think the defense, I thought the linebackers, the defensive line held up pretty well. It was just, I just thought those receivers were just going to burn us up and down the field, but it keeps us alive. I don't know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how invested are you in terms of, I want to see this team go to the playoffs? Do you think it's, you know, if you're a one, you think, oh, it's just, we're going to end miserably. Or are you like, are you hopeful? Did this increase your hope at all to see this game?
Not hope of, like, you know, making it to the Super Bowl or winning the Super Bowl. It did increase my hope of them making the postseason. And I want to reiterate what I said before, making it at this point, making it after the way, you know, they were 4-8 and left for dead and people talking about, you know, rebuilds and years of, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm amped up now more, not because I think this is a good team that making the playoffs and who knows what happened. No, I know what's going to happen. If they make the playoffs, they're not going to go very far. That's fine. But I think this will mean so much for the attitude and the morale of the team, of the coaching staff, front office, all of these people. I think it's going to allow them to have their own hope and belief, not necessarily for this year, but for years going forward, to be able to close this out. And I'm really intrigued now to see what they'll do and to see, you know, what kind of drive and character and what kind of stones they have to be able to finish this deal out. I'm really intrigued now. This is sort of like, what is this, a 17 episode season, right? And mm-hmm. You know, we're kind of getting down to the penultimate episode and what kind of twists lie ahead for us. It's become a lot more interesting. Not just the wins. They haven't been that impressive in these wins. We talked last week. She beat the Bears, the Rams, big freaking deal. They got lucky today. Doesn't matter. They won the games. Now, can they build on that, even with some guys hurt? You're playing at home. You've got it all right in front of you. What's this team made out of? Yeah. That is really interesting to me.
Yeah, it made the 2022 season interesting at the end. You know, if I were to recommend it as a series for someone to watch, I'd say it gets slow at the beginning. Keep watching. It gets interesting to the end, right?
Yeah.
Should we go to the betting lines?
Almost. Let me take a look here. I want to scan my list because I've been feverishly writing as we go forward. You know what? Let's go to the betting lines. But do we have the results yet from Mike? Was he able to get them?
We do not. This is a special Christmas edition of Packers Therapy. So it's quicker, and apparently we don't have the results of last week's betting lines. So we'll do betting lines for this week for the Vikings game, and we'll have to update you next week as I'm traveling. So we had to squeeze this one in here. So let's go to the Packers-Vikings betting lines.
Okay.
You got your thinking cap on, ready to go?
Yeah, hold on a second here. You know, Santa brought me a new microphone.
Cool. Are you using it now?
I'm not using it now because, unfortunately, it is still being shipped. But I understand it's going to be arriving. So we'll see if that improves the audio quality. Probably the content will still suck. But maybe the sound quality will be better than it has been.
You only hear how bad we are clear. That's right.
Exactly right. Yeah. All right, time for the betting lines on Packers Therapy. And, you know, Dave, we used to have a tradition on this podcast before the days when Nick came around to save us. We used to always take a break in the middle of the podcast, and longtime listeners will remember that. And we would, you know, usually take any 5 minutes, 20 minutes. Sometimes it would be even longer because, you know, we would have like a conversation or something, and then we would resume the podcast. Well, we took a break this time, too. That break lasted, by my calculations, about 17 hours. It was a substantial break. We both were able to get some sleep in and have breakfast and that kind of stuff. But we are actually doing the second half of this podcast on Boxing Day, St. Stephen's Day, the day after Christmas, because we did not have the results that we needed to talk about from the betting lines. And, you know, also because
we're on a Christmas high, I would say, right? We were full of Christmas.
We were visiting with Mason Crosby, and you don't go to the Crosby's house and not be sociable. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
That'd be rude.
Yeah. It would be rude. if this sounds different than the first half of the podcast, you will understand now why it does. But we are going to bring you the betting lines and pop culture, as we always do here on Packers Therapy.
Are you saying that our insights weren't as insightful in the first half? You don't think we just absolutely nailed every part of that game yesterday and all the nuances, all the highlights? I thought it was just like we broke it down like in such a way they should put us on ESPN. I think it was incredible.
It was remarkably concise podcast. And now in retrospect, we are figuring out exactly why that was the case. But Christmas cheer comes in many forms, and we enjoyed some of those forms. So we are back now. I don't think there'll be any, I don't think Al and CD do any drug testing. So I think we're probably fine for the second half, including the betting lines. Now, who is the winner from the past week here from the Dolphins game? Who came out on top? We're going to find out shortly as we review the betting lines. So what do you got, Dave?
All right. So we have three people that got seven correct.
Ooh.
And I see. We had a little bit of a controversy. So
controversy.
We had somebody who we'll call CJ, because that's what they put down as CJ.
Okay.
Submitted their picks after the game had started.
Oh,
so
CJ.
CJ would have been the winner, but I think, I'm like a live and let live. Look, I'm sure, the honor system prevails. Mike, I think, was willing to let us kind of make this call. But then we had someone else chime in that says, absolutely not. The rules are rules. This is a rules are rules gang here.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
If it's after the game, you cannot win. So we have I think we'll announce a different winner just to keep everybody happy. CJ, if you would like to have a complimentary pass to like the Packers Therapy hotel brunch, maybe we could do something like that. There's not a lot offered there. The eggs are runny, bacon's undercooked, but we could give you a free pass for a brunch. How about that? But
and they've also been sitting out since last Thursday, I think. some of those items.
No, we take them back to the kitchen, but we like to not waste food.
You don't want to waste food. There are people starving in, I don't know, Zimbabwe or someplace like that. So, or Biafra, wherever that is. Yeah. This is the important thing that you overlooked it. Is CJ a patron? I don't see his name on our list.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
If he's a patron. CJ, if you want to win that way, CD, you can. Yeah. But it's going to cost you, my friend.
That's right. We're not beneath taking bribes. So, all right. And then we did have to go to the tiebreaker even on top of that. But ooh, so we had
goodness.
It's quite a competitive week. Let's get to the numbers here. I'm glad that we've redone this in a right frame of mind so that we can bring this close contest to you, just like the Packer game, right?
Exactly right.
All right. So on number one, I had asked you Aaron Rodgers quarterback rating. You set that line at 88. And they had 78.6. So I think if I recall, you were gloating a bit that your low number, which I might have ridiculed, was actually a very not low enough, apparently.
Yeah. But still, I think I might have surprised a few people there.
You did. Only three people picked the under and they were correct.
Okay.
Number two, what would Tua's quarterback rating be? You set that line at 101. Again, a lot of people took the over on that one, but it was 80.8. So the under had that.
He came into the game as the NFL's leader in passer rating, 107. And so I could see why people would have gone above. But once again, we set a very tricky line there. So it seems like we caught a few people there.
Yeah, you did. Plus, I would have thought the Packers secondary, too. I thought they're ready to be picked apart on short passes and, a lot of run after the catch kind of stuff. So, it was quite remarkable. So quite a bit under that 101, but higher than Aaron Rodgers' quarterback rating. If you had told me that.
Not as high as Mason Crosby, though. That much I can tell you. Yeah.
And but wouldn't you thought the Packers would lose if Tua has a higher quarterback rating? I would think Rodgers would have had to stand on his head to win this game.
Yeah, the remarkable thing is Tua had a passer rating of 80. It was almost 81, I guess, but threw three interceptions. So you know he had a heck of a game when you can throw three interceptions and still have a halfway decent.
Yeah, that's true. Passer. That's right. Yeah. It's not in the 50s or anything. Okay, number three, who is the leading receiver by yards? You said Christian Watson, who's made of glass. I said Aaron Jones, who also is nursing injuries. It was Alan Lazard. Yeah. A couple of people had that one correct. Number four, will Christian Watson have a catch or run more than 35 yards? His long was 20. I guess that would have been a pass because I think I saw a replay of his end around near the end zone. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you saw this, but it looked like Zach Tom missed the block like there was nothing there, but it looked like there was a missed block. Tom went to the very last defender on the edge and he let a couple of guys through or like up the middle and kind of blew that play up. But so I think it was a pass play for 20 yards. That's as long as I think he had. So the answer is no, which you said no. And I said that he would. Now, I don't know if you read anything more. Is Christian Watson going to play next week?
Haven't seen anything more on that since yesterday. I really do think it is going to be one of those, wait and see how it develops during the week. But hip injury, and as you mentioned, he is made of glass. So I'm not expecting him to play against the Vikings. And that will impact the lines that we set up here coming up.
I think that's right. Okay. Number five, I asked you total rushing yards allowed. I thought this was going to get the over. You set the line at 155. I took the over. It was only 82. And that probably is maybe one of the most remarkable things about anything, that somehow as that game started, I mean, how many yards did Mostert rip off early?
You would have thought this thing. Yeah, I want to say he had, what is his first two runs over 10 yards? So I want to say he had like his first two carries were like 30 yards.
I can look at it right here on there. Mostert for 14 on a second and 10. Then there's a pass and up the middle for 17 yards on the
31 yards.
Yeah. So like right away and, but only held them to 82 yards. This is pretty good. So the under had that one. Number six, total receiving yards for Tariq Hill. You set that line at 148, and I took the over. He had 103. Still a quiet 103.
Wow. Boy, you had a bad week.
Oh, yeah. I got the first seven incorrect.
Wow.
I only got to the soft questions. Did I get any correct? I had this game completely wrong. No wonder I couldn't understand the game yesterday.
Well, I think there are other reasons for that, too.
Oh, boy. Okay. Number seven. How many punts by Green Bay? You set the line at 4.5. They had one punt. Well, partly because of the fake, but.
They were going for it on fourth down like crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And only one punt, which is kind of an interesting line and whether they'll continue to do that. And I mean, this is now a league, which I think we talked about early on that people should go for it more on fourth down. I think we're on the earlier end on that. I mean, when it's fourth and one in your own like 25, people are going for it now.
Yep.
And the quarterback sneak is such a high conversion play that why not? Why not do that?
Yeah, I agree.
7.5. Let's see. Oh, well, they have a side by side view of the temperature in Green Bay and Miami. They definitely did that. We crushed that one. You saw that?
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. I thought, well, it's kind of standard. I mean, you can't possibly do a game with, when you have these contrasting geographic locations. It's almost a cliche, but they do it. And so I thought that was pretty easy.
All right. Then 7-3-4s, who will be the first Packer hurt? And one of the ones I did get correct, I did say Keyshawn Nixon, which is the correct answer. You know who else got that correct?
I'm kind of curious.
CJ. That's a little suspicious, CJ.
Okay. But again, we will forgive if you go to Patreon.
That's right.
And, that's right. Become a patron, CJ. You could be a winner.
Everyone's a winner. That's a patron. That's correct.
Everyone's a winner who is a patron. No doubt.
Let's see. Someone said none. Aaron Jones is interesting because he probably was already hurt. Dylan Cobb. Watson's. Watson was a close second, but I think Nixon is correct. 7-7-8 will Miami's first drive will result in blank. It was a field goal rather than a touchdown. So we both said touchdown, which in the way that played out, I'm surprised that that happened. Yeah. And then the tiebreaker, what will be the Packers score? It was 26. Winner this week is Deb Adams.
Hey, all right.
Deb Adams, you get the next week at the Packers Therapy Hotel Casino. It was going to be empty for a week, which would have been nice. We could have probably cleaned it up a bit.
that costs money. You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, Deb, feel free. And CJ, enjoy the brunch. I would get there early. I think the food is a little bit better early, but and I should
that's
just
a relative
mention,
statement indeed.
Yeah, Scott Nyer did also had 7 correct, but he lost in the tiebreaker. Shy should just
wait. Hold those. Scott's a patron. Doesn't that count for something?
Yeah. So the winner is Scott Nyer is the winner this week.
Well, Deb, though I think is this 2 weeks in a row we've had a female winner. I believe so because we had Sam. Right. Last
correct.
Week.
Right.
And then Deb. So I don't Deb. This might be a first on Packers Therapy.
And the week before that, we had Guy in London. And I guess, you know, he's kind of questionable exactly what where he's coming from. But so go before that, Chief Tom. OK, so we'll say 2 weeks in a row, 2 weeks in a row. I just had to get a dig in there on Guy because of the comments that were left.
Oh, God.
So the comment question that either we said, I don't know why I keep forgetting the question from the week before. Did I write it down? Maybe Mike has called this one again. Is what entertained you the most in 2022? All right. Hmm. So what entertained you the most in 2022? We had a number of people say Packers Therapy. Joe Meek said that. Chuck said that. Judy
that
Freeman.
So
Judy Freeman
sad.
Said the podcast. And after that, it's a blur. So Judy must be
well, maybe she's seen the same people you are. So, yeah.
Jerry Adams said the betting lines. Bill and Delafield said the podcast, of course. And Rich Holmes said us podcast. What would we do without you guys? Isn't that nice?
Oh, that is nice.
We have
it's
such nice
insane, but nice. Yeah,
it is super. Yeah, we have the nicest group of people that listen to the podcast. A lot of people said the Packers, something about the Packers. Jeff Tom and Jeff in Brooklyn both said Christian Watson. Caden Jeff said being 6-8 apparently entertained him a lot. Tom Freeman talked about Watson. Kevin Parsonow, tell me if this is a little tongue in cheek. He said it's been great to have a defensive coordinator who also loves offenses controlling the clock, converting long third downs, and scoring. He and LaFleur share that philosophy. I think he's being sarcastic there.
Well, we learned because he is a patron. Wow. A patron now. He's a professor. Now, you know, I mean, is this like the guy who was one of, you know, with Gilligan and the skipper? Is
yeah,
the same
right.
kind of guy? Yeah.
Still smart.
Yeah.
Still smart.
I know.
Yeah.
Still smart. And he's extremely smart because, you know, he went to Patreon and, you know, that is the sign of intelligence right there.
We are just absolutely shameless with our.
It is.
Asking money.
It's embarrassing. Yeah.
Josh said the Packers season, you couldn't write the script or cast these characters. That's so true. Patrick
well
said beating the Cowboys.
Yep.
And Cheryl said the idea that we could potentially make it to the playoffs, which is true. That is. Still hanging out there. Then a number of people took it more from the pop culture angle. So Mike said Severance on Apple TV. I think that was in my top 10.
A lot of people like it. Yep.
Dr. Klaus, I tell you, this guy is a man after my own heart. He put down Elden Ring, which is that video game I mentioned a while ago. So, I mean, independently, we found the video game that we like. That's awesome. Samir said House of Dragons. Steven talked about the TV show The Bear. I think that was on my top.
Yep, that was that the top of your list? It was right up there. Yeah.
Top five. I think it was top five.
Okay. Yep.
But then here comes Guy. Guy says watching Smile. It's Smile with an exclamation point in Leicester Square. I don't know if I'm saying that
right. That's Leicester Square, my friend.
Leicester Square. Okay. But then he said teaching Dave to play shithead in a North London boozer as he sucks like the Bears. Can you believe he said that after
it depends on how many gummies he had before he said that. Yeah.
Okay. So a guy's favorite saying to me is there are no winners. There's only Dave. That was what he kept saying. And I still am confused by if that's a compliment or or not. Scott Nyer said Jack Ryan, which I think is a new season's out on Amazon.
Yes, that's an Amazon thing. I believe season three now we're there, right? Yeah.
I think that's right. And then Clint Chicago, I thought this was an interesting one. He said the James Bond movie, No Time to Die, and then rewatching the Daniel Craig James Bond's film in order. He said number two, ditto to Dave on Top Gun Maverick, which of course, and then number three, he said Tom Brady on and off the field so far. So that has been entertaining to watch. So
indeed. Hey, I've got a question for you. I don't know if you know the answer to this one, but I couldn't help but notice that Deb, our winner, has the same last name as Jerry, who I believe has been a past winner also of the betting lines. Do you think there's something going on there? Is this like a, you know, is this a husband and wife? Is it a brother and sister? Is it a father and daughter? Is it all of the above? I don't know where they live. I mean, maybe that's how that works. I don't know. So what do you think?
I think it's fair to think this is part of the Adams family. See?
Of course.
See that?
Oh, yes.
Right?
And you, sir, are a winner. You know? I think Uncle Fester will be playing next week. I'm looking forward to that.
Very good. Yeah, maybe they can let us know if, I mean, they're right next to each other, so there must be some connection there. It has to. I'm no genius, but there must be something going on there.
Well, the family that pays the betting lines together goes to jail together, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Ask the Freemans. That's right.
That's right.
All right. So congratulations, Deb. Enjoy your week at the hotel and casino.
Bring Jerry along with you. Even if you're not related to him, bring him along anyway.
Might as well have an Adams reunion. Okay, are you ready for the betting lines for this week? Packers versus Vikings at Lambeau Field, 3:25 Central Time on New Year's Day.
It is New Year's Day. I think you two will be doing the national anthem.
Yeah, very good. Okay. Since we did these lines already yesterday, although I have no memory of them,
I don't either, actually.
So we'll see how different your lines are from after a day has marinated of thinking about the game. Okay. Number one, Aaron Rodgers quarterback rating.
Okay. Yeah. The weather is going to be above freezing, they say. So it won't be that different from Miami, the way it sounds in the forecast, middle 30s. So that'll be a plus. I don't think there's going to be any snow or any bad conditions. So it should be, you know, okay, except that we don't really know who's Aaron's going to be throwing to. We can feel pretty good about everyone except, Watson, who is kind of a big part of the offense these days.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to play. And I think that's going to impact what Aaron is able to do, because not just because the guy is a dynamic force by himself, but because he influences the rest of the offense so much. I think having him on the field creates opportunities for some of the other players. So if he's not going to play, which I kind of think is going to be the case, I suspect they're probably going to try to, you know, tilt to the running game, assuming Aaron Jones can play on his bad ankle. So Aaron's passer rating is probably going to suffer a little bit by not having Watson. And Aaron's not been great today. I think his passer rating on the season is in the low 90s anyway. And so I guess I kind of suspect, you know, he'll be kind of in that neighborhood. So I'm going to, you know, I'm going to kind of go where I did last week. I'll go 88 again for Aaron.
88. Okay. You went down for me. So now I got 88. So I think you're right. I think they run the ball more. I think this has got to be a lot of A.J. Dillon. You know, this is what you got him for, big back. Although it looked like he got hurt. He took a big hit to the hip, and I thought, I don't know if he's going to be on the injury report, too.
He also got bent over backwards on one of the on
the touchdown.
Yeah, right.
That looked
terrible. Yeah.
It did. It was like an awkward fall, and I thought, man, we just cannot seem to sort of swim through these tackles, right? It seems like we're always getting just blown up or twisted in some way. Aaron Jones kind of constantly does that.
Yeah. Someplace, you know, Barry Sanders is shaking his head. What are you guys doing exposing yourselves that way?
Well, was it Andy Monday that said, we've talked about Christian Watson needs to learn to take a hit and we should have him go talk to Mason Crosby, something like that?
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to take the over because I feel like 88, that's low. even though I feel like the Packers are going to lose this game, this will be the, given the Minnesota's magical season, another sort of great addition to it to knock the Packers out of the playoffs. Like, right. Feels like it's kind of the Vikings year.
How can they be 12-3 with a +5 point differential?
Yeah.
That just makes no sense whatsoever. But, you know, it might also be a sign that it's just their damn year, you know, that they can, you know, win on a 61-yard field goal, that they can come back from a 33-0 deficit and win the damn game. It just might be their year.
All right. Well, I think he'll get over. I don't think it'll be enough. Number two, how many touches will Aaron Jones have?
Oh, we mean at the football, I assume.
Yes, of the football variety.
Given how
a controversy during the game on Twitter that he was not getting the ball at all. He had touched the ball maybe three times. It was somewhere in the third quarter that people were complaining. And I guess now we're learning he was injured and they were saving him.
A bad ankle. I think it might stem from last week's game, and they were limiting. I guess what they say is he was on a pitch count, which is odd because I don't think he's in any major league rotation as far as I can tell.
Right. That's weird. Yeah.
I'm going to set the line at 13.5.
All right. I'll take the under on that one. I think, I do think it's going to get more to AJ Dillon. And I think, with the game on the line, I think Rodgers, if it's tight game, this is what I'm here for. I'm throwing the ball. So I think there are going to be a lot of chucks down the field.
I chucks
down the field. Number three, how many interceptions will the Packers have?
Oh, they're not going to have three like they had against Tua, who, I mean, that guy, you talk about a, kind of a quarterback rating buster. I think he kind of had one there. I think they might get one, but I don't think Cousins is going to, give him more than that. So I'm going to go with 1.5 on that one.
All right. I'll take the over. I think they get one. And here's the thing. I think if the Packers defense start to believe in themselves that maybe they will play better. And now I think they've got a week now of they're going to hear how well they played. Joe Barry got hugged, you know, all that might be kind of carry over so that maybe the Packers defense rises up and we actually see what we thought we'd see from the beginning of the season. I mean, we didn't think, I still can't say this guy's name. Agnabare was part of the defense instead of Gary. I don't think Rudy Ford was ever contemplated to be in the lineup, but maybe this defense can stand up just because they're now much more confident. So I'm going to say they get another interception off Kirk Cousins. He usually gives you one. So I think as opposed to dropping it like they do, I think they actually catch one.
Well, and that's a really good point. Cousins could be throwing it to them, but they got to catch it to make it an interception. It's not good enough if it bounces off your hands or somehow you lose it going to the ground or something like that. So I'm going to stick with the 1.5.
Speaking of, a ball bouncing off your hands, I thought the Campbell interception, that's the kind of a play where it's like, oh, you had your hands on it. And because it wasn't a clean sort of right to him, he had to kind of snatch it to the side. And that was a really good interception. That was excellent. So,
yeah, that was an all hands play. And, he's not had a great season, but he has made an impact. I mean, he had a pick six. He also a 2-point conversion, got his long arms in the way of that one. So he's made some big plays, even though he's not been an all pro like he was last year. I think the guy's been an overall plus. For the
Packers. I think so as well. Or, at least solid. Like he hasn't, I wouldn't give him a big minus. He just hasn't been as big of a plus. Number four, Kirk Cousins quarterback rating.
Yeah, he does throw some interceptions, but he has some good receivers and he's a veteran getting paid some good scratch. So I think he's going to have a solid game. I might just go with the rerun and I did 101 for Tua. So I think I'm going to go 101 for Cousins.
All right. I'll take the over on him. I'm going to go along with the Vikings and stick with their success. So I'll take the over there. It just completely fly in the face of my defensive theory that they're actually better. But
so he's going to be over 101 with an interception. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. I'm going to put a little asterisk there, seeing you're so sarcastic.
He's going to have a hell of a game, then, apparently, because if you have an interception and still get over 101 rating, you're probably going to have a few touchdowns in there and a pretty good yards per attempt. So, okay.
All right. Chris criticized this pick.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay. Number five, total receiving yards for Justin Jefferson.
Oh, boy. He had 184, I think, in the other game. I can't believe that, even though he got a nice big bear hug from the head coach, I can't believe Joe Barry's going to trot out the same kind of crappy defense they had in the first half of that first game. So I think they'll shut him down a little bit, but he's way too good to be shut down in the big sense. So I would not be surprised to see him go over 100 yards, but I don't think he's going to go crazy. So let me set that at 103.
Set that. Okay. I'll take the over. That way, because if Cousins has a higher than 101 quarterback rating, I assume Ralph Jefferson will have 100. More than 103 yards. See how that worked.
Well, it could be Adam Thielen. You know, he might be the guy that goes off instead. You know.
Yeah. Or the tight end they just picked up.
Oh, T.J.
Hawkinson.
Puff and Snuff or whatever the hell is. Right, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, that was H.R. Puff and Stuff. Sorry.
That's right.
Old mistake. Yeah. Yeah.
Number six. How many red zone touchdowns will the Packers have? Tricky one, because you got to get to the red zone. You can't have a long.
Yeah, that is true. Of course, they kind of were camped out in the red zone against the Dolphins, but a lot of that was because he had Keyshawn Nixon, you know, getting good field position. That helped out a lot, and then the defense with the turnovers. I don't think they're going to be quite that lucky. I'm not even sure Keyshawn Nixon is going to be able to play. He's got a groin injury. I think that might happen off the field, but anyway, so yeah, how many will they have? I'm going to set the line for that at 1.5.
All right, I'll take the under that one. Number seven, I changed one of the betting lines from last night. Total catches for Mercedes Lewis.
He had two, which I think. Has he had a game this year where he's had more than one in a game? I think this might be the first time he's had a multiple catch game. I did get a chance to watch the replay of that down the sideline throw, and that really was a hell of a throw by number 12. I mean, he was moving to his left, and he flicked that thing out there perfectly. Now it should have been an incompletion. I will grant you that, but. For whatever reason, no one challenged it, so it does go down as a completion for the big dog. But I cannot. It's really hard to imagine him, you know, becoming a regular factor in the offense. So I'm kind of tempted to put the line at 0.5, but I'll go 1.5.
You'll do 1.5. Okay, I struggle with this. I'm going to take the over. If Watson doesn't play, I mean, there's two other tight ends. Yeah. I think they're going to try and run the ball more, so I think he's on the field some. I think there's a good chance he gets two. So I'm going to take the over on Mercedes Lewis. I mean, he's open. Unless he gets 20 catches in a game, like, they're not going to cover him. So he's always open on a third and less than five. Mercedes Lewis, pretend like you're blocking, run out on a pattern. It's going to work every single time until. You know, people start to focus on it, which would be nice because maybe there's one less in deep coverage. But so I we'll see. I think I'll take the over.
There was another great line by Detective Sergeant Inspector Andy Mundy when he asked Mike, does any time that Big Dog catches a pass, does that qualify as a trick play? And I think he meant that tongue in cheek. I don't know if Mike took it that way, but it was actually, I thought, pretty good, because the guy touches the ball about as much as the Packers try a trick play. So why not? You know?
Right. I was thinking too, the Patrick Taylor catch, as I saw a replay of it on Twitter again, I wondered if that was a design play. I don't think it was meant to go to him, but I wonder if he was supposed to be blocking and then just realized, like, I could just run out in the pattern and Rodgers flipped it to him. But, like, that was never, like, in the design of the play. I guess we'll never know, but it certainly worked, because you block a little bit and then you break out like that, you have at least 15, 20 yards of room, which is beautiful. I think that was on a third down play too.
Yeah. And I, you know, Patrick Taylor, he also had a good block on the pass to Lewis down the sideline.
Yep.
So, you know, this is, you remember Tony Fisher?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. He was their third back, but he was real solid too. He would come in the game. He'd average 5 yards a carry. He could catch the ball. You know, Patrick Taylor kind of gives me a little bit of that Tony Fisher, which is not a great player, but certainly a solid one. And a guy that when, you know, somebody is hurt or unable to, you know, answer the bell, he's all right. You know, he's done a nice job in limited action for them this season.
Yeah. As a third down back, you can live with that. If the other two guys can stay healthy, which, you know, well, I guess we'll see what happens to Aaron Jones next year if they sign him, you know, what, or I guess he's signed, but whether they want to keep him or keep his contract. I don't think you necessarily need to draft any running backs next year, right? I feel like, you know, with those three, you're probably in pretty good shape.
They've also got the guy in the practice squad. He played at Iowa, and of course, he hasn't played this year or this season since the preseason.
Right.
I can't think of his name, but he was really good in preseason.
He was. That's right. That's right.
So they, you know, they might, you know, because they're going to have to replace Jones in the next year or two anyway, and A.J. Dillon's going to be a free agent. So they might draft somebody, but probably later on.
Well, and I digress from the betting lines here for a second. When I think about what the Packers' biggest need is, what I saw all over the place is they need safety. Oh, so God. Once again, it's probably right. They're going to draft, you know, defensive lineman, of course, in the first round. Second round will probably be a safety. And then somewhere in rounds 4, 5, or 6, they'll get another receiver. And again, I just feel like that's a mistake. I think you take your number one pick and take the most dynamic offensive weapon you can get. If that's not a tight end, in round 2, you get the best tight end available. And then you can go after your defensive, you know, your safeties and everything else. Because I just feel like, you know, these, you can get some of the guys in lower in safeties and running backs. Like, you can pick up guys off the street like Patrick Taylor that can fill in, but you need stars in the star roles: quarterback, left tackle, corner. And I think wide receiver is in that role too, that you've got to upgrade there. Even though you've got two good ones with the rookies, Watson gets hurt a lot. Dobbs has gotten dinged quite a bit. And I think they'd be a really nice compliment to a really good tight end and maybe one more receiver. What do you think about that?
Well, I would say, what do you think they need more, a safety or a tight end, in terms of the draft coming up?
So I would answer that by what improves the team more. And I think, look, continue to try to upgrade the defense doesn't work for them. I think you've got to have their offense be great. I've said this over and over. So I think they would be much more improved. They might give up more points, but they're going to score more points. So I think they will net win more games if they got a tight end over a safety.
And that makes sense because it is a league that tilts toward the offense. But I am really concerned about safety. Well, actually, I'm very concerned about safety. I have iron bars on the windows of my house.
Yeah, no, so safety number one is always.
Yeah, safety first. Yeah. Right. So I would think they do need somebody in defensive backfield because you got 31 who has been a good Packer. I've liked Amos. I think he's done a nice job for them. You know, you get him 4 years, terrific. But he looked slow in this game, in the Dolphins game, and I think they got to replace him. And 26 has not played like a savage. Let's just, you know, be candid there. I guess they promised him his fifth year, so he's going to be back. But he looks like he's not really going to be a factor. So they don't really have any safeties for next year unless you want to put Ford back there or maybe move Douglas, you know, back there. But they don't have anybody with any real, you know, skill or talent that they can count on. So I would probably go safety over tight end in the draft. I think they need both. But if I had to choose, you know, if I was, you know, sitting there in the second or third round and you had, you know, two players that were rated closely on your board, one was a safety, one was a tight end, I'd probably go with the safety.
Well, I don't think you can go into the season next year with the same safeties, but I just feel like, you know, if you're going to get stars that you can lock up for relatively cheap, like I mean, unless there's a safety, safety is a position that drops and you've got the second best safety late in the first round. If the Packers end up there, then maybe I'd feel differently, but I just feel like, man, upgrade the offense, continue, just upgrade the offense more and more. Make that dangerous. Cause you can look with Campbell, Rasul Douglas, the Hollins. I mean, I feel like they can pick up free agents on defense. And I mean, heaven forbid, I think if you had a good scheme, which we're talking about Joe Barry next year, I just feel like, you know, if you score, that's your best offense, score and score often. That's
yeah. I'm thinking Joe Barry is going to be back based on that hug on the sideline. I think we got Joe Barry again.
Well, I beat that to death, but that's anyway, I just, Patrick Taylor made me sort of think of that. It's like, you yep. can pick up the Patrick Taylors of the world and kind of fill in some of these positions. You know, do you necessarily have to draft them anyway? So we are at 7.5, I believe.
Okay. Okay.
As people I want to just get to the betting lines, have to
exactly.
throw this.
Yeah. Get to the damn betting line.
So I asked this question a little bit different than I asked last night. Will they show the Christian Watson drop within the first 3 minutes of the game? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right. You say yes. I'll say yes as well. I guess it does depend if the Packers get the ball first, because I think, as you had stated, that if the Packers have the ball first, they're going to show that thing right away. If Minnesota gets the ball first, they might be delayed, but the Packers will probably give up a score in 3 minutes. So good chance it'll be under 3 minutes. Okay. 7-3-4. Will Mason Crosby miss a field goal or extra point in the game? It's going to be warmer, but yeah. still winter.
Yeah,
he just and had all this hoopla about being the longest, because he just broke the consecutive streak for playing in games, Brett Favre's record.
What was shocking on the, I mean, I knew, you know, I don't think it was consecutive games. I think it was number of games total.
Oh, okay.
Because Aaron Rodgers was on that list, too. I think he might have been third. But what surprised me, the number five was Bart Starr. I mean,
really?
Yeah, I mean, I know Starr played a long time, 16, 17 years. But the seasons weren't as long in those days. Well, of course, Packers seasons were longer because they were in the playoffs consistently. But we didn't have as many playoff games. And yet somehow Starr, I think he had 196 games. You know, so you have, well, I guess that just goes to show you've got three surpassing talented guys. Or at least effective guys, and they're going to play, and they're going to play a long time. So I was actually glad to see Bart start with his single bar helmet. I thought that was fabulous.
Yeah, right.
May God rest his soul too. Yeah.
That's right. He's a good man, good
yes,
player, good.
Yes, he was. Yep, all the way around. Yes.
So miss? Will he miss?
I think he will, because you know, you're outside. You got swirling winds at Lambeau. You're going to be playing in January conditions, and I don't think Mason's leg is as strong as it was. I'm guessing his liver probably not as strong as it was either. I don't think we're going to see him next year. I think there's a drop off there, and also let's face it, the operation, the snap hold kick operation, a little bit shaky all year. So I just, he's had a good season in terms of accuracy. But I think this is going to end. I don't think it's going to be end badly in the terms of he's going to miss a, you know, critical game winning or game tying field goal, but at some place along the line, I would imagine he is going to miss on Sunday.
All right. I'll say yes, he misses as well. I just feel without one of his field goals or X points, they look kind of iffy. It's not that beautiful end over end right through the uprights. It seems like it's kind of a punchy.
Yep.
Kind of a thing.
Looks like to me too. And he just snuck one in too during the last game. He doesn't have quite the accuracy or the leg. It is a credit to him. He's been as effective as he has been kicking outside for so long, but I don't have a lot of confidence in Mason these days.
Yeah. All right, 7-7 ace. At the end of this game, do you think the Packers will still be alive for the playoffs?
Nope.
I'll say no as well. I feel like this is where it ends.
I just noticed today my friend Bill Lasty, who I believe is also a regular now playing the betting lines, you know, said he thinks I'm a little pessimistic on the Packers' chances. Bill, you are exactly correct, sir.
Yeah, I guess over time, you know, we've become more pessimistic. I, you know, the disappointing playoff losses year after year kind of
add up. They add up.
It just wears on you. Now, a Bear fan would look at us like, what is wrong with you? Like, exactly. You know, you've had nothing but success. I'm sure a Cleveland Brown or Detroit Lion fan would say the same thing. We're like, oh, woe is me. What was what? Like, right? But it does. It feels like we can't have nice things. Our good players get hurt, get blown up in the playoffs. I saw someone tweet, I guess Rich Eisen tweeted something about, hey, you don't want to let the Packers and Aaron Rodgers get hot and make the tournament. Or something like that. And then someone responded, hey, you don't want the Packers get hot, make the tournament get blown out by the 49ers again, do you? That's how I feel. Yeah, we're just two things are gonna happen. We're gonna miss it or we're gonna make it and get blown out in the playoffs. Like, but I mean, we've had a lot of success. We probably should be more fair, but it just feels like it's gonna end bad.
You know, and that's one of those things where the national perception of who the Packers are is real different than those that follow it and live and die game by game.
Well, they don't call us Entitled Town for nothing.
We are Entitled Town. There's no question about that. Yep.
So the tiebreaker is the Packers' total score. I said 20. Remember what your answer was?
Yeah, I think I might have said 24, but I'm gonna revise that to 23.
23. Okay. Very good. All right. And then in the comments section, hopefully I remember it this time and I wrote it down. Your favorite Packers biking memory. It could be ideally a game that happened between the Packers and the Vikings. Maybe it's a Vikings only memory that you have. Dennis Green yelling, they are who we thought they were. You talked about Gary Anderson's missed field goal. It's always should have that on framed on the wall. It's beautiful.
It was a great moment. Yeah. And also Favre's interception in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I guess Aaron Rodgers, you know, was with his buddies and cheered for at the time. Remember that was kind of a controversy.
You know, I don't recall that, but it does make me feel better about number 12.
Yeah, it does. Like, that's the most real thing he's done that I can identify with. So let us know your favorite Packer Viking memory or Viking memory, however you want to put that down. You guys can figure all that out. But
I got to give you mine. And okay. It's got to be the Antonio Freeman catch in overtime in the rain when the ball somehow just magically landed on top of him and he got up and ran it in the end zone for the winning points. What was the Wayne Larrabee or was it Al Michaels? You know, what just happened or whatever? You know,
what? Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That was great.
I think mine was, it's not as significant, but and I think they lost this game, but when Reggie White threw Chris Carter into Warren Moon's legs and sacked him, I just thought that was just absolutely the best.
Yeah. Reggie, oh man, we were lucky to have that guy.
Yeah, really. So please play the betting lines. We'd love to see your picks and your memories. All you got to do is email Mike Miller at mitnomiller@gmail.com. That is
mitnomiller@gmail.com. That's how you reach Mike Miller. mitnomiller@gmail.com. He would like to be your Sherpa when it comes to being a degenerate. That's what Mike is all about. Yes, bet your house, sell your children, play the betting lines on Packers Therapy. And you will find yourself maybe queued up in the buffet line for your bowl of gruel with CJ.
That's right. Very good. So those are your betting lines. We're all set now. Much better than what piece of garbage we put out last night.
it was brilliant, and it's lost to the ages. Of course, we'll soon be able to have this merchandise with the outtakes, you know, like the bootleg stuff that we have out there.
We can put the lost file just for the patrons and watch this just completely deteriorate in front of your ears. Let's see if Nick wants to put that together.
it's going to be up to Nick. He has absolute control the way Mike does on the betting lines. So popular culture, my friend, what do you have this week?
All right. So my I didn't have a real big pop culture in the traditional sense, but I knew that this was out there, but didn't really grasp it until this last week. And that is the ChatGPT program. So are you familiar with this whole thing?
Well, you made me aware of it because you sent me something that was stunningly good and also something that was stunningly bad for Dr. Klaus.
Yeah, that's right. Well, so ChatGPT is you can go online and just search for ChatGPT and you can sign up for an account and then you can access this artificial intelligence, I guess, database. I don't know what you call it, a platform where you basically can type in anything. Up until, I guess, the data feed that it has is up through 2021. So if you ask it something in 2022, it won't have that data. But you can ask it just about anything, and it will instantly pump it out. What I sent to you was, given your line of work, is write me a letter for a thanking a donor for a gift. And 1 second later, here is an outline of a letter that you could kind of fill in the blanks. And but it created, it was professional looking. It looks great. I did something similar.
Quite good. Yeah. I was surprised how good it was.
It can do anything. I had, you know, give me market commentary for stocks, bonds, and commodities and cash for the first quarter of 2021. And it did that. You can tell me a story about Darth Vader, you know, being friends with Winnie the Pooh. Like, you could do anything that you want, anything you want. So I went ahead and typed something in as we were talking. And I said, write me a poem about the Green Bay Packers. So I'm going to do this twice because I want to show exactly how this thing works. But this is what it came up with. I mean, within a second. This isn't like it had to like churn and churn and churn. This kicked out immediately. Here's the poem about the Packers. The Packers, a team so grand, a storied history in the land. Green and gold, a sight to see. The team we love, so proud and free. From Lambeau Field, they take the field. With heart and soul, they never yield. A force to be reckoned with, no doubt. Their spirit unbreakable, a fire about. The fans, a faithful, loyal crew, their love of their team, a green and gold hue. Through thick and thin, they stand by their side, a bond that can never be denied. So let's raise a cheer for the Packers we love, a team that rises above. May they always shine a beacon of hope, the Packers forever at the top. Well, that didn't really rhyme at the end there, but that kicked it out in a second. So I'm going to do another poem here. But give me a random, so I'm about a poem about the Packers, and give me one more piece of information you want, something that's completely unrelated to the Packers.
I thought you wanted something specific about the team. Okay, poem about the Green Bay Packers and potato salad.
And potato salad. All right, so I'm going to tell you, I'm going to hit go, 3, 2, 1, go.
Yep.
And here we are. The Packers, a team so fine, a tradition that will always shine, green and gold, a sight to see, a team we love, so proud and free. But there's one thing we love to do when the Packers are playing. It's a sight to view. We gather around with friends and family to share a meal of some potato salad, oh, so yummy. The classic dish, a summertime delight, a creamy, tangy treat. That's just right. We pile it high on plates and bowls. We dig in with heart and soul. So here's to the Packers and their loyal fans, a team that stands tall and always stands. And here's to potato salad, a beloved treat, a perfect match for the team we can't be beat.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you could do, write a poem about the Packers, a potato salad, in the voice of, you know, Howard Cosell, or, you know, what, like, pick your and make it or do a haiku. You could put in anything. What I'm going to start to use it for, and only the people on this podcast will hopefully hear this, because someone said this is rude. But if I have to write a small talk email to someone saying, hey, I can't make the conference, I'm sorry, I'm just going to type in, write me an email saying I can't make the conference, I am not available. And it'll spit out an email that I can cut and paste and put it. So I can just save that time of like writing kind of the fluff emails and things over time. It's incredible. So if you want to give it a try, we did it over a Christmas dinner where we said, write me a story about, and we put just the most random things together and would come up with this stuff. It's crazy. It's really, really good. And check it out. It's just search for ChatGPT and you have to make an account, but that's, isn't that crazy?
That is remarkable. And that I'm stunned. It was like seconds, and that was an extended thought about the potato salad, because the first part of it was similar to, you know, to what we had done for the regular Packer poem. But then to come up with that long bit about the potato salad and doing it, I mean, that's that is really amazing.
Here's a haiku about the Packers.
Oh, good.
Green and gold shine bright. the Packers take the field with might. Victory is ours.
Wow.
Second.
I mean, that's I'm a little verklempt right now. I'm sorry.
How about you want a limerick about the Packers?
Absolutely.
There once was a team from Wisconsin. The Packers, their fans were a citizen. We're all a citizen.
Well, all right. So maybe ChatGPT has consumed a gummy. I don't know.
With a fierce and mighty might, they took to the field ready to fight. Victory was theirs. A win there were a winning in Wisconsin. They're whining. It's not perfect.
So there are some flaws, okay? But it sounds like hours of fun for the entire family.
What in the world is Sinison? Sinisin. Is that actually...
Maybe you've got to look that up or something, I guess, because I never heard of that one. Of course, I went to a public school. You went into one of those fancy private ones, so you should know these things.
It does not look like Wikipedia knows what a citizen is. It looks like it's the superlative degree of citizen with an E-N. But anyway, don't rely on it for your day job. It's not perfect, but it's pretty incredible what you can do with that. So it's kind of fun to do it as a game with the family. Just create a story and just pick three random things and it'll do it.
You know, your mention of Wikipedia reminds me. When you go to Wikipedia in December, you always get that, you know, everyone's got to give $2. Oh, my God, please, you know. And I would like to encourage everybody that uses Wikipedia, which I do and Dave just did. You know, if it means maybe that you can't give your $5 this month to Packers Therapy, okay, give it to Wikipedia. That is a great service that I think a lot of us would be lost without it. So I'm going to make a pitch during the pop culture segment to encourage people to chip off a couple of bucks for Wikipedia because, you know, it's cool. Now, it's not as cool as ChatGPT. You know, you actually, you know, have to read through that stuff. But it's not very often that you go to Wikipedia and you want to have information about something and you can't find anything about a particular subject. So that would be one of my pitches for pop culture. The other thing is, I heard a really good podcast, which reminded me of one of the many songs that I do like. And being late in December as we are, I want to encourage people to go and listen to A Long December by Counting Crows. Now, you may know that song. You may remember when it was a hit. God, it's got to be a long time ago now. It's at least probably 20 years ago, I would guess, that song came out. But it's so perfect for this time of year. The whole feel of the thing, it's beautifully written on many levels. So if you don't know the song, check it out. If you do, revisit it. And if you really like the song as much as I do, there actually is an entire installment of a podcast. It's the Rolling Stone Music Now podcast. And the most recent edition, and there it is now coming up in the background. Yes.
Can you hear it?
Yeah, I can. It's the untold story of A Long December. And Adam Duritz is interviewed by Rolling Stone on the podcast Music Now and talks a lot about, you know, Counting Crows generally, but spends time kind of breaking down the background of how that song came to be. And it's not a Christmas song per se, well, written by a Jewish person for one thing, but so it's not a Christmas song, but it captures the feeling of, you know, the weather, even though it was written in Los Angeles, still, you know, days are shorter. It's just a kind of a contemplative, melancholy season in lots of parts of the world. Such a beautiful song, and if you're really into it, by all means, Rolling Stones podcast Music Now, and Adam Duritz is interviewed in the most recent installment of that. So that's my pop culture for this week.
All right, I leave you with one thing. I got a haiku about Packers Therapy. Ready?
Oh, yep, got it.
Packers on the screen, therapy for the soul, it seems, joy and peace found. Isn't that beautiful?
It's ridiculous.
Robot knows us. Yeah.
There's, you know what? That's probably true. The robot probably does know us. Anyone who has Alexa or Siri in their house, believe me, they know you. And so does the NSA. So, right. Enjoy that, my friends. Well, okay, that's going to put a wrap on Packers Therapy episode 423 version 2.0. It was so much fun, we decided to do the second half again.
So nice we did it twice.
It is. It's exactly right. Well, hey, why not? They haven't won a lot this season. They did manage to somehow win, so that's a good thing, right?
That's right.
And they got two games left. They've improved to what, maybe 7-8 now? Okay. Just on the cusp of 500. They can be 500 if they beat the Vikings at Lambeau Field at 325 on New Year's Day. Dave is going to be watching. I'm going to be watching. And we're going to be back in a week or so to talk a little more about the game. There's a little homage to a long December right there. So anyway, until that time, I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that is Packers Therapy.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that's Packers Therapy.